Hey, welcome back to the Sports Ticket, joined now by Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest. We've had Matthew on many times before. He's a terrific guest. He knows his Chiefs football, and man, it's hard to kind of keep up with everything that's happened here recently with the Kansas City Chiefs football organization. You know, there's a lot that's taken place, and you do a great job covering it on Chiefs Digest. And I guess we'll start with the big news, of course, that happened so quickly. That's what really caught me off guard, how quickly things transpired, and that was the trade of Tyreek Hill. Is this something that you saw coming, or were you caught off guard as well?
I think everybody was caught a little off guard. I mean, this wasn't exactly in the air supply of being a likely conclusion. Even that morning, I mean, everything happened pretty quickly from the moment that word got out that the Chiefs were possibly shopping him around to it getting a done deal with less than 90 minutes. But there was clearly a lot of things going on below the surface. I mean, it was like an iceberg that wasn't happening in public, but because even that morning, I mean, you know, I had a conversation with someone that morning that, hey, it still looked like the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill were angling towards an extension. And that was the public face that they were absolutely negotiating and looked like maybe something was going to get done and rework Tyreek Hill's deal. But obviously behind the scenes, that wasn't how things were going. The Davante Adams deal really changed what the expectations were for Tyreek Hill and his camp. And, you know, and at that point, Tyreek Hill wanted to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league. And that wasn't going to happen in Kansas City. And one thing led to another, and that's what really led to the deal.
Do you think the Chiefs got enough for Tyreek Hill?
I think they did. I mean, especially if you compare it to what the Packers got back for Davante Adams going to Las Vegas, I think the Chiefs absolutely got the better deal of that. You know, it's arguable. I think you can make an argument about who's the better receiver. But I think that most people around the league would have said they thought that Davante Adams would get more haul. So I think the Chiefs did a good job. I mean, you know, clearly Adams wanted to go to Vegas. I think that Hill wanted to go to Miami, but the Chiefs were able to drum up enough interest, I think, to drive up the price a little bit. So I think they absolutely got the best possible deal that they could get for Hill.
One of the narratives that came out by some people, even some sports talk people in Kansas City that I was annoyed by, was the immediate almost treating it like the Chiefs are suddenly going to fall on hard times. The window is closed to win a Super Bowl and so forth and so on. I totally disagree with that. I think, personally, myself, I'm intrigued by the trade. I'm intrigued what the Chiefs are going to do with the draft, which we'll talk about in a little bit. I honestly think they opened up the window longer. Yeah, they might take a little bit of a step back this year. You know, God forbid they don't win the division, which they may still win it. But as long as you get in the playoffs, who's to say you can't go win anywhere when you have number 15 and Andy Reid? So to me, I think it's foolish and laughable when people tell me, well, the Super Bowl window is closed. Why? Because we still have maybe the best quarterback in the league, maybe still the best coach in the league. You still got the best tight end in the league. There's so many things the Chiefs have, and trust me, they've got needs, and we're going to address that in a little bit as well. But to me, I think there might be a blessing in disguise that Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs couldn't come to an agreement. Just my opinion. What do you think?
Well, and the return that you get for Hill is the hope and the expectation that you get that maybe this is for the longer term going to make the Chiefs a better team. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, you can absolutely make the argument that the Chiefs are clearly worse without Tyreek Hill. But I'm with you. I mean, as long as you got Patrick Mahomes, the window is open. I mean,
yes,
you're not going to be a 4-13 team with a healthy Patrick Mahomes. You're going to win a bunch of football games, and you're going to be in the race every year. What the Chiefs are banking on is that, you know, you get that draft pick haul back from the Dolphins. You know you're going to be worse at your top wide receiver spot.
Mm-hmm.
But does that trade now let you get better at a few other places? I mean, clearly I think you can make an argument that even what the Chiefs have done so far, they're probably a deeper wide receiver room. They need, I think, another player in there to really solidify it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, arguably they're, you know, hey, further on down the rotation, I think the receiver group is better. But now you got to take those draft picks and get better at edge. You got to get upgraded at corner. And if the Tyreek Hill trade means that they can get better at three other spots, that's the kind of trade-off you have to make in the NFL. You're going to get worse at a place, but then you've got to get better elsewhere. And if they're able to parlay those draft picks into doing exactly that and getting better at a couple of other positions, then it's going to pay off for them.
I'm Matthew Derrick at Chiefs Digest is our guest today on the Sports Ticket. I agree with you because I think you can fill other needs and you can make your football team better in a better balanced unit. Maybe your defense improves. Yeah, your offense might take a step back, but is it going to be really horrible? Of course not. Not when you have Kelce, Mahomes, and other weapons, and we'll talk about some of the acquisitions they made as well. But I think the biggest thing, and I'll see if you agree with me on this, I think one of the biggest reasons why fans were so upset right off the bat, one, they were completely caught off guard. So it was complete shock. So that's why people immediately react instead of letting it simmer for 24 hours and then realizing, oh, hey, that might make sense, which I saw a lot of Chiefs fans were freaking out and panicking. And then the next day they slept on it and like, oh, you know what? This actually might make some sense. But when I look at the Chiefs organization and what they're doing, I think the biggest part for a lot of people I know is that they're so used to the quick strike offense. They're used to the sexy throw the ball 20 yards, Tyreek, take it to the house. And so suddenly that part of Chiefs football is probably in the rearview mirror in regards to Hill's not going to catch it and go 80, you know, because he's just a unique cat. We know that. But the Chiefs still can get big plays in their offense. It might look a little bit different. It might be more dropbacks. It might be less RPOs. It might be, God forbid, run the football a little bit more when it's working to where, yeah, you might not have Tyreek Hill. But, you know, Matthew, let's be honest. That the old way of the Chiefs offense ran was basically gone even before last year when the Buccaneers had their game plan. And last year, a lot of people took away Tyreek Hill deep, and thus he had to settle for shorter routes. And Patrick was supposed to, you know, take the check down here and there and be patient. And I think a lot of fans don't quite realize that.
Yeah, and the other thing I think that gets overlooked, and you touched on it earlier, which I think is, you know, the Chiefs not only have Mahomes, but they have the next most important piece in the offense still there, which is Travis Kelce.
Yep.
Because Andy Reid's version of the West Coast offense, let's be realistic, runs through the tight end. Every offensive coach and player who's worked with and worked for Andy Reid will tell you the offense runs through the tight end. That's what it's designed to do. And as long as you've got a guy like Travis Kelce, who's obviously the best tight end that Andy Reid's ever had, that is going to make the offense go. I mean, Travis Kelce's presence alone is going to make other guys better. I mean, do we believe that Tyreek Hill is going to put up the same numbers in Miami that he put up in Kansas City?
No.
I don't think so. No. I mean, I don't think he'll ever reach those numbers. And some of it's the quarterback, but a lot of it's going to be that he's not going to have Travis Kelce there. As long as you've got that, I mean, Kelce's going to elevate everybody else. As long as he stays healthy and, you know, I mean, hey, he's getting up there too. So yep. The Chiefs need to be starting to prepare for life after Travis Kelce. But as long as you've got that, I mean, in the short term, the offense will be fine. I mean, that's the piece that's going to make everybody else better. You know, hey, are the Chiefs, is Travis Kelce going to have another 1,400-yard, you know, companion out there? No, probably not immediately. But right now, I mean, you've got a chance that I think this will be a deeper and more multifaceted offense,
mm-hmm.
and that alone is going to make the offense different. But that doesn't necessarily mean worse, because if there was a knock against the Chiefs, I think the last year or two, it was certainly that they had become very two dimensional.
Yep.
The ball was going to Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill; it wasn't going anywhere else. Now you're going to have more options, and that alone. Yeah, like I said, it's going to be different. It doesn't necessarily mean worse. It could mean better, but it's going to be different.
Well, and I think that might, once again, blessing in disguise, I think that might help Patrick Mahomes develop more as a quarterback. I was at the Steeler game the day after Christmas, and granted, the Steelers' defense wasn't what it used to be, but in that game, Tyreek Hill played like just a few snaps, had one catch for 10, and Travis Kelce was out due to COVID, and Mahomes lit up the Steelers and used all his other pieces, and I thought he didn't lock onto a guy. He spread the ball around. Pringle had a nice day, and others, even I think Noah Gray and Blake Bell had catches in that game. He spread it around, and he made it look fairly easy. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise from the standpoint that this might maybe help the development of Patrick Mahomes at quarterback?
I mean, I think you can certainly make the case that it's going to challenge him. I mean, it is going to be more difficult for Mahomes. And that alone, I mean, that could be something that elevates his game. But, you know, the other part of it, too, is that, you know, when you're paying your quarterback what you're paying Patrick Mahomes, when you make him almost a $500 million guy, one of the things that you're going to ask of that quarterback is to elevate the players around him.
Yeah.
And that's what quarterbacks of that stature do. I mean, you know, to me, look at what, you know, Brett Favre worked with. Look at what Aaron Rodgers has worked with. You know, quarterbacks of Mahomes' stature, one of the things that they've got to be able to do is that they've got to be able to take average receivers and make them good. I think you saw, you know, with Tyreek Hill, he had a very good wide receiver at Tyreek Hill, and he made him great. I mean, that's what Mahomes can do. So, yeah, I mean, it, to me, I mean, you give other guys a chance, he's got a chance to elevate their games. And, you know, and with a couple of the additions that the Chiefs have had, I mean, we haven't even talked about Juju Smith-Schuster yet, yep. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling. There's a couple of guys who are talented players. And if Mahomes can get them involved and get that chemistry and connection going with them, I mean, I think you could make a case that they are already right now a deeper receiver unit than they have been the last couple of seasons. I still think they need one more piece, but if they are able to take advantage of that depth, I mean, I think it's going to make them more, you know, a more dangerous offense.
What is the Chiefs' current cap situation? How much freedom do they have? How much space do they have in regards to that after the trade of Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, with everything that's shaking out right now, I mean, it looks like they're in about the mid-teens, about $13 million, give or take. I mean, you know, there's a few contracts that haven't quite hit yet. So you'll see different numbers at different sites around. So they've got some flexibility. I mean, and there's still even a couple of things that they could do to squeeze a little bit more cap space. Not the kind of room to go out and make maybe necessarily a huge signing, but plenty of space to be able to, you know, squeeze in a veteran. You know, so, hey, if Melvin Ingram wants to come back, there's room for him. They could make, you know, a couple of acquisitions, you know, and like I said, there's always room that they could squeeze a little bit more cap space out. So they're actually, I mean, as far as, you know, looking around the league, you know, the trade of Hill really freed up a lot of space for them. And they reworked Joe Tooney's contract as well that gave them some room. So they've got some freedom and flexibility. I mean, they've got two things that most teams don't have right now, which is they've got draft capital and they've got cap space capital.
Absolutely. Two nice things to have right now to retool. I don't say rebuild, retool. Matthew Derrick, Chiefs Digest, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Okay, I may miss a few here, but the players the Chiefs have added this offseason, Justin Reed at safety, he's 25. Deion Bush, a safety, he's 28, I believe. Jermaine Carter, linebacker, 27. Juju Smith-Schuster, 25. Valdez Scantling is 27. Ronald Jones is 25. Elijah Lee, I forgot how old he is, former K-Stater. They restructured Frank Clark's deal. Derek Nnadi was re-signed. Might be a few things I'm missing. Of course, Sorensen's gone. Armani Watts is gone, and so forth and so on. D-Rob is gone. Pringle is gone. Darrell Williams probably looks like will be gone. He's a free agent. Jerick McKinnon is a free agent. Some people want him back. But I think the thing that I really like about the moves the Chiefs have made so far, Matthew, is that they're short incentive-based deals, almost all of those, with the exception of Justin Reed. It's a three-year deal, which they pay him less than they paid Tyrann Mathieu, and Reed is 5 years younger than Mathieu and still in the prime of his career, and they got younger in the process. The short incentive-based deals that keep players motivated to have big years so they can get paid, or the Chiefs can decide, okay, we're going to pay Juju more next year, and they got younger in the process. I think that's a win-win for the Chiefs because they're not locked into long-term deals. They handcuff themselves, and also you got some guys that have some things to prove, or they're coming off of injuries, or maybe, just maybe, starting to enter their prime and will fit better with the Chiefs than their previous team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and three deals in particular. I mean, between the Valdes-Scantling deal, Smith-Schuster, and Ronald Jones, I mean, there you've added three veterans. I think they're all three together. I mean, I think they're under $9 million of cap hit in 22. They're, none of them are long-term deals. I mean, if they don't work out, you can get out of all of them. I mean, Valdes-Scantling's deal is pretty flexible to the point where it could be a 1, 2, or 3 year deal, depending on how well he performs. But you're right. I mean, these were very affordable deals. Chiefs kind of took advantage. Brett Veach took advantage of some not likely to be earned incentives. That, you know, hey, if the players hit them, which is very, I mean, it seems like, I mean, I think they've got a reasonable chance to do it. But it's not going to hit the cap space this year the way that a different deal would. So, yeah, I think they really structured a couple of these deals very smartly. Even the Justin Reed, you know, being the one long-term deal that they handed out, I think that was a smart deal. I mean, I think it was maybe right at market, but it was a little bit below what I thought he might get. he's a different player than Tyrann Mathieu, so the expectations have to be different. But I thought that was a really good signing and pickup. And you're right. I mean, and one way that the Chiefs are definitely going to have to go going forward with, you know, having so much cap space tied up in Mahomes and Jones and some other guys is that, you know, you got to get cheaper, younger, more affordable at those backup spots and those special teams roles. The Chiefs are really definitely retooling that group. I mean, Dave Tobe is going to be making his money this year because he's going to have almost an entirely different special teams unit.
Yeah.
You know, Goner, the guys who've been, you know, stalwart for him, you know, the Dan Sorensen, Armani Watts, you know, Dorio Daniels not under contract right now, a lot of other guys. But they picked up some guys like Elijah Lee, you know, is a really good special teams performer. You know, they picked up a couple of cornerbacks that could, you know, fill those kind of roles. They've done a really good job of acquiring some, I think, you know, veterans that are still young, still athletic, and giving them flexibility that, hey, you know, some of your draft picks are going to be filling those spots too. They're going to be younger on special teams, but I think they're also looking to get faster and more athletic in that group. And that's something that I think maybe they've been missing the last couple of years.
I agree with you. Who do you think is the sleeper of all those? I really like Ronald Jones if he stays healthy, because I've seen him do some great things at Tampa Bay. He can provide, I think, some explosiveness out of the backfield. He's really good running between the tackles. And you look at the Chiefs' offensive line as it's constructed, if they commit to the run a little bit more here and there. I know Andy Reid sometimes gets away from that. I think that could be a really great pickup. And the one that other people have been talking to me about is Valdez Scantling. You know, a 4.37 40, a little bit slower than Tyreek Hill, but still extremely fast. Much taller at 6'4", 6'5". And the number that really pops out at you is he's averaged almost 18 yards per catch in his NFL career. And Patrick Mahomes has not really had that big throw it up tall target. I know he can throw it to Kelce, and yeah, Hill can jump up high and pinpoint the ball. But Mahomes Scantling seems intriguing to me as well. What about you? What do you think's the best pickup, or maybe the sleeper of the bunch that they picked up this offseason?
Yeah, I think you probably hit the safest bet with Ronald Jones right there, because that's a guy that, hey, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is yet to give you a full season, so you got to expect that he's going to miss a couple of games. But and it's not exactly thunder and lightning, but you know, him and Clyde, you know, they do have different flavors. And like you said, I mean, Jones is a little bit bigger, a bit more of a punishing back. Not that he doesn't have some explosiveness, but he's got some of that power run and up the middle, you know, that Clyde kind of lacks, you know, just due to his size.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, I would expect a relatively even workload between those two guys. But hey, if Clyde misses a few games, you know, Ronald Jones could be a 1,000-yard back. I mean, he's been one before. Yeah. So to me, that's probably probably the safest pick. I mean, Valdez Scantling, I think, has got some boom bust potential. Yeah, teams continue to try to take away the deep ball against the Chiefs. I mean, if that's something that they still don't want a guy like Valdez Scantling to get behind them and beat them deep, that's going to be taking away one of his, you know, prime weapons. He's not as polished in the rest of his game as Hill was, so that's going to be the challenge for him. Is, you know, he may be asked to make a few more plays underneath and over the middle that he hasn't done as much in the past, and that's where he's really going to have to prove himself. So to me, I mean, I think he's got some work to do. Probably, you know, one of the more underrated signings, and not that it's a flashy name or anything, but Jaron Christian, I mean, is a guy that they picked up from Houston as a swing tackle, and that's probably what his best role is. I mean, you know, being like a number three guy who could, you know, fill in at a bunch of different spots. I mean, they're bringing back Andrew Wiley, but, you know, for a team that doesn't know who their right tackle is, you know, having a guy who's got some starting experience in the league, I think that's a good addition. I really like a couple of their, you know, special teams additions. I mean, you know, Elijah Lee could, I think, really be an interesting player. Another guy that probably not getting a lot of attention, you know, Jermaine Carter.
Yes.
Also a linebacker. You know, having him, I think, is really key because he's a veteran who's been around for a while. Having him to be around, especially if Ben Neiman doesn't come back, having a guy like that can play in the middle and, you know, help give, you know, further mentorship to to Nick Bolton, I think that might be a key addition too. Even though he may do a lot of things that don't show up in the box score, but I think that was another good addition for the Chiefs.
No, I agree with you. Okay, what about free agency? Who's out there that the Chiefs you think might still target, or do you think the Chiefs are maybe going to just now focus on the draft? Is there anybody out there? I know Gilmore's been mentioned. I don't know how much he's going to cost. Corner that's been a Pro Bowler, but he's 31. I have a lot of people there, Chiefs fans that I talk to. They still love Jerick McKinnon. I don't think he's coming back for the Chiefs, but I could be wrong. What about free agency right now for the Chiefs?
Yeah, there's certainly a couple of, you know, their own guys that could come back. You know, they're still out there, and McKinnon's one of them. I mean, yeah, the Jones coming in and keeping Derek Gore, I think, makes it a little bit more unlikely that a guy like McKinnon or Darrell Williams, who I think, you know, is kind of the odd man out too right now as far as coming back. There's a couple of their own guys that could come in. Gilmore is a guy. I think probably the biggest one that I think everybody's watching is Melvin Ingram, to see what he's going to do. Would not surprise me if he doesn't make a decision much later in the process. Remember, I don't think he signed until May last year with the Steelers. And he seemed like the kind of guy that wouldn't mind getting through off-season workouts and skipping all of that and then coming in with the team and just being ready for camp. He can do it, so that's not a problem. So that's probably the one that I would be watching. But outside, you know, there certainly could be some, you know, below the radar signings, but Stephon Gilmore is probably the biggest name to watch.
Are you still surprised? Are you surprised Tyrann Mathieu is still on the market?
I am. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, I mean, if he wants to be the highest paid safety in the league, and we don't know that. I mean, it's not like he's come out or his representation has come out and said that. But you know, I think that's probably a price that a lot of teams would be balking at.
Yeah.
But, you know, given what he's given teams, I mean, he's a valuable player. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu still has a lot left in the tank. If you told me that he was going to be out there this long, I mean, I would have thought that had the Chiefs not replaced him, him coming back to KC, maybe it's a possibility.
Yeah.
But it makes you wonder. I mean, and hey, there are things that teams would consider red flags with Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, obviously he's approaching 30.
Yep.
He's had, you know, ACL injuries in both knees. That's not a prime, you know, that's not something the teams are looking to add, as, you know, a guy in his 30s who's had a bunch of knee surgeries. But, you know, you got to, I have to think that there's just some team out there that's just going to get an absolute bargain with him from a leadership standpoint alone.
No, I agree with you on that. Okay, so you've kind of touched upon a little bit throughout this conversation. Mathieu Derrick of Chiefs Digest with us. The draft's coming up here towards the end of April. Give me the biggest needs the Chiefs have in the order of priority that you see it.
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, edge rusher to me is the number one spot. They've got to get better at getting after the quarterback, and that's the one thing they really haven't addressed. I mean, yeah, they've got Frank Clark coming back at a lower cap number, and that continuity is at least nice, but they need more. I don't think there's no doubt that's the one position that you still have to upgrade, and it's not even just one. I mean, you're probably not going to have Frank Clark after this season for sure. You know, so you're really looking at a couple of spots, and I'm not sure that anybody on the roster right now has really proven that they're a starter.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, Mike Dana has had some nice moments, but he hasn't won that spot yet, and, you know, and Joshua Kando is still a project. That's the one that if you don't walk out of, I think, the first round without an edge rusher that you're happy with, that's going to be a disappointment. You know, the next on down, I think that from a number standpoint at cornerback and wide receiver, hey, the Chiefs could go out and play a game today. But I don't think there's any doubt that the two spots that they would like to upgrade. Especially, you know, with Smith-Schuster and Valdez-Scantling, you've got a couple of complementary guys.
Yes.
Those two players are at their best, I think, when they're going to be your two and your three. Hey, if the Chiefs could make a move to get an elite receiver in the first round, I think that would be an ideal scenario. I don't know if it's going to happen for them, but that and corner, you just can't have enough guys. And right now, I mean, they have some depth issues. I like Rashad Fenton. I think he can be a starter in this league. But right now, you know, who's your number three? I mean, is it DeAndre Baker? I mean, he's had very inconsistent moments so far in his career and in Kansas City. So I don't think you're solid there. To me, yeah, it's edge, and then I could flip a coin between receiver and corner, but those are the next two on my list.
So let me go one step further. If there is a, let's say you're Brett Veach, okay? You have picks 29 and 30, and let's say we get to pick, 12, somewhere in that range, 10 to 15, and there's the best pass rusher, or there's a guy you love as a pass rusher, but you also there's a receiver that you love that you think can be a number one guy. But you got your number one pass rusher on the board midway through the first. You got the guy you like the best at wide receiver that's on the board. Which one are you trading up for, the pass rusher or the wide receiver?
Ooh, that is really challenging.
I know. That's why I got you on the show, to answer these tough questions.
I think as tempted as I would be to put a true elite receiver with Mahomes and add to that depth, I think edge rusher is just such a huge need for this team short-term and long-term.
Yep.
So if my number one edge rusher is there in top 15, yeah, that's when I'm starting to make some calls. I don't know if I would give the capital to get to 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's probably, two first, kind of, this year's first or maybe next year's first if you're the Chiefs, to get to there. I mean, that's about what they gave up to get, go from 27 to 10 for Mahomes. But you get to the, 15, 17, and there's an elite, edge rusher, or, Jamison Williams, if he falls there from Alabama as a receiver. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I would start working the phones if I'm Brett Veach.
I agree with you. The sexy choice and answer is to get the receiver, but I think for the betterment of the team, it might be to get that pass rusher since they are so depleted at that position, as you just pointed out. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest. KU won the national championship in men's basketball the other night, and tons of people that I know on social media talked about how they changed their clothing, they went to a different establishment, they turned off the TV because they thought they had the power to change the result of the way KU was playing. And, of course, all of them jokingly take credit that KU figured it out in second half because, they changed their shirt or they did this or did that. You heard the old slogan, the commercial even, it's only weird if it doesn't work, right? So what is Matthew Derrick's oddest superstition, whether it be just in general or maybe when he's been cheering on his favorite sports team? What does Matthew Derrick go-to superstition?
It's funny you should mention this because I have said this week that I think that KU fans should be thanking me because, at the risk of, just lowering everyone's estimation of me in Kansas, I am a Mizzou grad.
Uh-huh.
So, I did not want KU to win. I'll admit that. They were up 9-3 early, and I turned off the TV. I'm like, okay, KU's going to win this. I don't need to watch this.
Right.
And then when I saw on Twitter that UNC was up 16, okay, I got to watch this now. I flipped it back. And I believe during the portions of the game that I actually watched, I think KU outscored, Carolina by about 32 points.
Uh-huh.
So I feel pretty much firmly responsible that if I hadn't watched the game, Kansas loses. But, really my only superstition that I've ever really had when I was playing baseball as a kid, I got hit by a pitch on the wrist,
mm-hmm.
and I was wearing this red sweatband.
Okay.
And I was absolutely convinced that the only reason I did, I had no bruise or anything. I was convinced that that red sweatband was heroic. I mean, I would not take that thing off.
Mm-hmm.
If I did not have that sweatband on my wrist, I was like 8 years old. I mean, I'd sweat hard enough to need a wristband. But, if I did not have that, I was convinced that the world was going to end.
Did you believe that was kind of your protective item? Is that what you're trying to say?
I thought that thing had superpowers.
Yeah.
I thought, hey, it kept me from breaking my wrist. It saved me, that thing, I can do anything with that wristband on.
Going back to the KU thing, did you watch then the rest of the ball game? Because if you would have just tuned out with about a minute and a half to go, KU would have lost, is what you're telling me.
I tuned in when Carolina was up by 16.
Uh-huh.
And then when Kansas took the lead, I turned it off again.
Okay.
And then I came back when Carolina had that brief lead there. at what was it, 2.5 minutes left or whatever?
Right.
That's when I came back in, and yeah.
Well,
I mean, I literally tuned in every time that Carolina was at their peak.
Well,
and
on behalf of all of the Kansas Jayhawk fans in North Central Kansas and across Southern Nebraska, I think we all say thank you, Matthew Derrick, for allowing that to happen and tuning back into the national championship game. I'm sure they are very grateful that you did that.
you're welcome. I'm convinced that if I had not watched the game, the Tar Heels would have won.
Yeah, that's the power you have, as we all do, right? I got you. Hey, thanks again for your time so much. How can people read your work and follow you on social media, my friend?
You can go to ChiefsDigest.com. You can follow Chiefs Digest on Facebook. And you can always find me on Twitter, at Matt Derrick.
Always a pleasure. Matthew, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk again later this offseason, maybe sometime after the draft, and see what the Chiefs pull off there, making their picks this year in 2022. Thanks, man.
Sounds great. Always fun talking to you, Wade. Take care, everybody.
Matthew Derrick, Chiefs Digest.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.